All right, so this morning we're going to look at, I guess we're at the front end of our look at the Ecclesial Guide, and which deals with the formation and conduct of Christadelphian ecclesias. So this morning we're going to look specifically at section 36, which deals with individual offenses. And individual offenses are those things that an individual person would do that go against Scripture and cause problems within an ecclesia, either for an individual or for an ecclesia, for the entire ecclesia. So what I'd like to do is just really go through what Brother Roberts had put together for us, read sections of that directly from him. He does not cite specifically the scriptural references, so I wanted to read what he has to say, and then we can take a look at the specific scripture that he's pulling from. So, Brother Roberts opens saying, "Christ has laid down the law very plainly for the curing of these individual offenses, and is the duty of the brethren everywhere to see it obeyed. They ought to refuse to countenance those who disobey it. If a brother takes offense at what another has said or has done, he is bound to meet the other brother in private interview for the discussion of the grievance between the two alone." So let's start by looking at that reference. Probably we're familiar with that. It's Matthew 18, verse 15. Which reads, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." So there's the privately portion of it. "If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." So here we have Christ exhorting us, if we do have an issue, to deal with it in private, to go to that person that we feel has conducted themselves perhaps inappropriately, again, against Scripture, and speak to them privately. And if you're successful, the tail end of that is, "If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." So Christ is reassuring us, if we do this and we are successful in it, if we do a good job of communicating our position to that person, and they're open to it, we've gained thy brother. So we've created that understanding. We've brought peace to the situation. Brother Roberts then goes on to say, "In most cases, this course stops alienation at its first stage. It either removes misconceptions, if that has been the cause of the trouble, or it leads to the omission of wrong on the part of the offender, followed by forgiveness on the part of the offended." He then goes on to say, "Of course, there are many matters too trifling to be made the subject of such a process. The man who recognizes the infirmity of human nature all around, and the evil nature of the few days we have to live, is able to exercise that magnanimous charity that covers a multitude of sin." So Brother Roberts is focusing us on the fact that, you know, these really need to be scriptural issues. They it's not the, as he says, the trifling issues, the, you know, the things like the color of the paint in the hall, or the brand of the coffee that we buy. Those aren't the things that we're talking about. These are really deep-bedded scriptural issues that could take one or more people really away from the truth, cause dissension within our the ecclesia, and really cause problems which have, as Brother Josh was saying this morning, have a way of sort of, you know, the big picture. These are the big picture issues. So. So Brother Robertson goes on to say, heeding not all words that are spoken, and even practicing the habit of returning good for evil. So let's take a look at that. If you want to turn to Romans 12, verse 17. Which says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. The next portion is blessing always, cursing never, which is Matthew 5 and 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So, within our family of Christ, in what we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, these aren't specifically, I hope these aren't the kind of issues that we have to deal with, we have enemies within the ecclesia. Let's hope we don't have to deal with that. Let's hope that no one within the ecclesia curses us. Let's hope no one within our ecclesia or any ecclesia hates us or despitefully uses us or persecutes us. But it is certainly the frame of mind that we should adopt, which is we're not always going to see eye to eye with people. And if they're scriptural issues, if they are, you know, those low-level issues, you know, the color of the paint and things like that, or someone from the outside who hates us, despitefully uses us, etc., that's all the same frame of mind. Is we have to sort of put that aside and think, how would Christ deal with this? What does Scripture tell us? How do we need to put it aside and deal with them in a loving way. Next paragraph that Brother Roberts provides for us begins with, but supposing an offense arise, which a brother cannot thus overlook, but which he feels to be a barrier between himself and the offender, then he is bound to take the course indicated. He is not at liberty to mention the matter to a third party, which appears for us in Titus 3, verse 2. Which says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So certainly not following the prescribed course of going and meeting your brother and discussing the issue and simply going to a third party goes against Scripture. It certainly is not part of the appropriate path to follow in these situations. Neither is the next portion of it, which says he is not at liberty to stand aside in a state of alienation, which pulls from James 5 and 9, which I'll read quickly for you. Which tells us, grudge not one against another, brethren, yes, lest ye be condemned. So you certainly can't not say something if it's an important issue, and it is a major issue. You certainly can't stand aside and not approach that brother. That issue does have to be dealt with. Otherwise, you're also violating the terms of Scripture. What Brother Robertson goes on to say, if he do either one or the other, he makes himself as much an offender as he may imagine the cause of his injured feelings to be. A man who disobeys the commandments of Christ on one point is as much a transgressor as the man who disobeys it on another. Another way of saying that is, which I, as a parent, I'm familiar with, and probably the other parents in the room are familiar with, telling your children that two wrongs don't make a right. Consequently, an ecclesia, knowing of such a case, is bound to persuade the offended brother to see the offender in private, or to withdraw from him in a case of refusal. So this individual who has offended, who has a responsibility to take care of the situation, if they refuse, the ecclesia can't, at this point, cannot step in. It has to follow this course. It's not the appropriate time at this point in time, I think is what I'm trying to say. There is everything to be said in favor of Christ's commandment in this matter. It is humbling to the offended to have to go and see the man who has offended him. And if he is too proud to submit to this, he is self-condemned. For the proud are an abomination to God. And this appears more than once in Scripture. But just one for us to look at is Proverbs. Proverbs 16, verse 5, reinforces this point by saying, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. So this, by approaching the offender in private, gives the offender the best chance he could possibly have of making any amends the case may call for. The act of the offended brother in coming and seeing him has a corollary effect on him, and his personal presence gives him the opportunity of thoroughly discussing every point on the spot. One thing that didn't come up in this discussion by Brother Roberts is we see in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 31, which says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Which I think is an important point when dealing with these situations. They could be very emotional. One would not want to go to another to discuss something of importance in an angry state of mind. If you're prideful, of course, you haven't reached that point where you can actually broach the topic yet. But if also in the heat of anger, that's really not constructive. It certainly has a potential for creating a larger problem. So certainly, with most of us, a time to calm down if you are angry. To take some time to think about the issue and frame it in an appropriate way, because it's important not only to broach the subject, but you want to make sure that the other person understands the point that you're trying to make as well, and you risk that if you are experiencing some anger. So you don't want to do it in the heat of the situation. Brother Roberts then goes on to state that a communication through a third party, or worse still, a letter, is no fulfillment of the law of Christ, offers none of its opportunities of reconciliation, that opportunity to really communicate the problem and discuss it between person to person. It doesn't provide that opportunity. Brother Roberts says it's rather calculated to prolong and aggravate the irritations of the case. and ought not to be received as compliance with the law of the case. So the written word, or trying to draw a third party into it, certainly has, again, with the anger issue, it has the potential really to create a much larger problem and get the whole discussion off track and not be fruitful. Now, Brother Roberts is talking about bringing other brethren in. The brethren refusing to listen to the merits of the case one way or other ought to insist upon the offended seeing the offender, or if he refuses, to disassociate themselves from his company. So, again, as we talked about a few minutes ago, if it's not the appropriate time, if that meeting of those two individuals hasn't taken place, the time is not right for other brethren to get themselves involved. The plea, Brother Roberts goes on to say, the plea that is of no use ought not to be entertained for one moment. Such an impression ought not to be made a reason for disobeying a plain commandment. Whether of use or of no use, an offended brother is bound either to drop the quarrel, which we already looked at in James 5, verse 9, or see the offending brother. It is not as if the failure of the interview left him without remedy. So, the next portion of Brother Robert's discussion deals with the private conversation has taken place. What's next? So his next step, the offended's next step, in case of failure of their private meeting, is to take two or three other brethren with him. Where the interview between the two parties fails, this may succeed, because further influence is brought to bear with fresh and conciliatory minds. So the offended brother is bound to take this step, as well as the other, otherwise he is disobedient. It may be of no use, but it must be done. If it succeed, he has his reward. If it fail, he has his remedy. So, again, what is his reward? What is the offended's reward in this case? It's being able to carefully and accurately make the case of what another individual has done, which they believe is wrong, which goes against Scripture. And that would be the reward, which is to explain the situation, hopefully turn that person away from that behavior or that activity that they were exhibiting that goes against Scripture. If that fail, if that meeting of multiple brethren fail, the offended brother is to bring the matter before the whole ecclesia. The ecclesia is then to admonish the offender if he be found in the fault. The offender refused to hear them, it is their duty to separate him from their fellowship by withdrawal. Certainly an extreme situation, but we can all think of situations where this has been necessary in the past. In my short time in the truth, I've heard of a couple of situations where an individual fellowship was withdrawn from an individual because they simply refused to repent. Unless individual offenses are strictly treated in this way, the community will constantly be in danger of disturbance and even disruption. An offended man, allowed to ventilate his grievance among others, is liable to enlist the feelings of others on his behalf, and the brother against whom the grievance is entertained is liable in self-defense to urge his side of the case, and thus bad feeling is diffused. And a state of mind generated that easily leads to division. Certainly the worst of all cases, where we have an ecclesia fighting amongst itself over an issue between two people that certainly could have been addressed in private. Brother Roberts goes on to say, let Christ's wise rule be insisted on, and the mischief is stopped at its beginning. Even in the interests of self-defense, Christ's rule ought to be insisted on. Who is safe from slander if a brother may pour out his evil thoughts into the ear of a third person? What righteous man would suffer if every complainer were first compelled to make known his complaints to the person against whom they were directed? Nothing will more effectually secure peace in a community than the maintenance of Christ's rule for dealing with offenses, personal or otherwise.